time, no see. I told Pastor just prior to the service, I think it's been just a little over a year now since I was with you last, and I've missed you. It's good to see. Look how things continue to expand. You know, Christ Unveiled Ministries just continues to get bigger and better, does it not? And so many advancements have been made since I was here on the last ministry engagement. And I know that you are blessed to have great leadership here at this church. Come on, give a hand of appreciation to the leadership of this church that is doing an exquisite and excellent job leading you forward into the prophetic hour in which we live. Look with me at the Gospel of St. Mark. For time's sake, I want to move directly into the text, and then we will be visiting several passages of text throughout this early service. But let's go to the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 4, and I want to begin by reading verse 35. Mark 4, verse 35. The scripture says, "That same day, when the evening came, he said to them," now these are the words of Jesus, "let us go cross to the other side." When they had sent the crowd away, they took him in the boat just as he was. There were also other little boats with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves splashed into the boat, so that it was now filling the boat. He was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. They woke him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He rose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" They feared greatly and said to one another, "What kind of man is he that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And for just a few moments this morning, I want you to notice the first three words of that 35th verse of the fourth chapter of Mark, and I want to talk to you about that same day. That same day. Father, help us in the next few moments to rightly divide the word of truth. Help us to recognize the uncertainties of life that consume each and every one of us, and help us to leave this place anchored in the one certainty, which is Christ, and to hold to his unchanging hand. We'll ask it all in the name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. There is one constant in life: change. One certainty, that nothing is certain. Come on, saints. Everything is always changing. It's not a change from year to year. I told you a moment ago, it's been over a year since I was here last, and things have changed. It's not a change from month to month. It's not a change merely from week to week. It's not a change from day to day. But even inside the confines of a 24-hour period, life can change radically. The story is told of two women that had not seen each other since they had graduated from high school. A number of years had transpired, and they happened to meet up at a particular location, and seeing each other, they warmly greeted one another, and they began to talk about the various changes in their lives since they had last been in personal contact. And one of the ladies told the other lady, "Well, things have changed for me. I am now married." And her friend said, "Well, that's good." And she said, well, no, it's not all good. I married an old man. And she said, well, that's bad. She said, well, no, it's not all bad. I married a rich old man. And she said, well, that's good. And she said, no, it's not all good. I married a tight, rich old man. She said, well, that's bad. She said, well, it's not all bad. That tight, rich old man built me a new home. And she said, well, that's good. She said, well, it's not all good. That new home that the tight, rich old man built me burned down. And she said, oh, that's bad. And she said, well, it's not all bad. He was in it. Can I tell you that even in a short span of time, life can have many modifications and changes. And in the text that I brought to your attention just a moment ago, we see exactly that. We see in a 24-hour span of time, many radical changes that are going to give us some great spiritual truths as we examine the text together in just a few moments. Many of you are familiar with the passage from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and I begin reading with verse number 1. The Bible says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. How many can agree with the writer of Ecclesiastes that everything in life changes? So in our text, we see that Jesus, at the conclusion of a lengthy day of ministry, if you go back and study the same scenario found in the 8th chapter of Matthew's gospel, you're going to see that there were many marvelous things that occurred on this particular occasion. Jesus, as you read behind some theologians who think all of this occurred in a singular day, number one, is approached by a leper, and the leper says, if you desire to do so, you can heal me. And Jesus says to that leper, I will be clean, and he is miraculously cured of the incurable disease of leprosy. As well, Jesus will be approached on this day by a centurion who will ask Jesus to merely speak the word so that his servant sick might become whole. And Jesus proclaims that he has not encountered such a great faith as this centurion, this soldier, has exhibited. And then when the evening comes of this particular day, Matthew says, Jesus went into the home of one Simon Peter. There he finds Peter's mother sick with a fever. Jesus touches Peter's mother-in-law. The fever relinquishes its hold upon her. She would arise and begin to serve them. And then Matthew says that they began, the people of the area, the people of the city, the people of the region, began to bring to Peter's home all who were possessed by demonic spirits. And Jesus, according to Matthew's gospel, simply spoke the word, and at the spoken word, these demonic influencers had to leave these people that they had possessed. And if it's not enough, Matthew also says they brought to him the sick, the withered, the halt, the lame, those with maladies and infirmities, and Jesus healed them all so that the prophecy of Isaiah might be fulfilled, that he himself carried our infirmities and bore our sicknesses within his own body. I would say they were having a pretty good day. Come on, church. Having a pretty good day.
And then Jesus gives the command for them to board the boat and take him across to the other side. After they depart and set sail on the Lake Gennesaret or the Sea of Galilee, it is one and the same. Shortly after their departure, Jesus enters into sleep or slumber. After he goes to sleep, that boat goes headlong into a storm. And it went from being a pretty good day to a real bad day. This is life. I said, this is life. And you and I as Christ followers are going to have to recognize the embedded spiritual principles and precepts that we find in this particular text. And I want to preach to you three simple points. Number one, circumstances change. In a 24-hour span of time, no matter if you find yourself surrounded by good circumstances, you might find yourself as the disciples on this particular day. Everything is going your way. There are no clouds in the sky. There is a gentle breeze filling the sail of life's boat. There is no ripple upon the water. Everything seems to be going your way. But I want to remind you this morning that one ring of the phone today could change all of that. Life can change. It can cause you to pivot in a moment. And while everything may be going well, it could turn rapidly to bad. Or maybe you're here and you're in a storm. Maybe you're here and you are surrounded by hardship. Maybe you're here and you are trying to clear the next hurdle. Life is throwing you curveballs and you keep swinging and you keep striking out. But remember this, friend, it won't always be as it is right now. Better times are on the way. Hallelujah. Circumstances change. I said, circumstances change. They are not a constant in life. Let's look at how circumstances in one day can go from good to bad. The book of Job records just such an account. Job chapter 1, the Bible says, "So a day came when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job." Now Job, if you don't know, was the wealthiest man of his time. He was an influencer. Job had everything going his way until this particular day came along. The messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys were feeding beside them. And the Sabians attacked them and took them away, and they killed the servants with the edge of the sword. And only I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was yet speaking, another came and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I alone have escaped to tell you." I would say it's going bad. While he was still speaking, another came and said, "The Chaldeans formed three companies and made a raid on the camels and have taken them away. They killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." And while he was still speaking, another came. I think I would have said, "Close the door, don't let anybody else in the house." Another came and said, "Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came from the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are all dead. And I alone escaped to tell you." Friends, circumstances can change in a day and go from good to bad. But not only can they go from good to bad, the Bible says that circumstances in a day can go from bad to good. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse number 1, remember the story. You have the city of Samaria that is besieged by the Assyrian army. The Assyrian army has surrounded the city of Samaria. They've cut it off. Nobody gets in. Nobody gets out. Nothing gets in. Nothing gets out. And because of this besiegement, because of being surrounded, the food supply in Samaria has grown so low that the Bible says they are eating the head of donkeys, the excrement of dove, and eventually some of the people in the city turn to cannibalism. They begin to eat their own children in order to survive. The scripture says that the man of God in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, Elisha the prophet said, "Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow, about this time, 24 hours from now or less, a measure of fine flour will be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." He said, tomorrow, even though food is scarce right now, even though we have resulted in cannibalism, tomorrow there'll be so much food in this city that it'll sell, and it'll sell cheap. God can change circumstances in a day from bad to good. Then an officer on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God, "If the Lord were to make windows in heaven, he could this thing happen?" And he said, "You will see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it." This man that worked for the king said, "Such is impossible. Even God cannot do this. God, even if he opened up heaven itself, could not give such a bountiful supply of food." And you go on and read the story, and you know about the four lepers that sat outside the city, and they approached the encampment of the Assyrians, and God used the footsteps of four lepers and turned them into the sound of a mighty marching army, so that the Assyrians fled and left everything that they possessed behind. And the lepers found that Assyrian encampment vacated, and they feasted and they filled their bellies. And then they said, "We don't need to just sit here and fill our bellies. We need to let the city know there's more than enough food." And when the people found out about the surplus of food, they ran to the gates of the city. And this man that worked for the king, that was a non-believer, who said, "Even God can't do this," got in the way of the people between them and the food, and they trampled him to death. Why? Because that's where unbelief belongs, is under our feet, ladies and gentlemen. God can change circumstances in a moment's time. And the circumstances of the scenario in our chief text, they had a good day. They were seeing Jesus work signs and miracles and wonders, and he was healing all who were sick and oppressed and delivering from devils. And yet, on the same day, they find themselves in a storm. They now find themselves facing winds, and they find themselves facing rain, and they find themselves facing thunder and lightning and waves that are threatening to sink the boat. In one day, circumstances changed. Number two, not only do circumstances change, but people change. Y'all say amen. None of us stay the same. People change. And I don't mean they change over time. I mean they'll change like that. Look at your spouse. They'll say, "Man, he's telling the truth." I mean, one minute it can be all right, and the next minute it can be all wrong. People change. All it takes is saying something or not saying something. All it takes is a look, or maybe not looking. Come on, people are fickle. The point is, it doesn't take anything, because people are unpredictable. They are not constant. They are a variable. We are a variable. And people change. People change in every way, in every thought, in every word. And we can change in two directions. We can change from bad to good, and we can change from good to bad. Let's look at changing from good to bad. Remember the story found in the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 19. You have a man by the name of Elijah. Elijah, for 3.5 years, has caused the heavens to shut up and offer no rain. Elijah, at the instruction of the Lord, has come out of isolation by a brook called Cherith, and from the home of a widow at Zarephath, and he stands before Ahab and says, "Let's meet on top of Mount Carmel, and let the God that answers by fire be God." And he prays a simple prayer and sees the fire of God fall, and then gives instruction that hundreds of false prophets were to be slain, and he sees a mighty, glorious victory. But everything is about to change. The Bible says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and how he executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, 'So let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow at this time.'" She said, "Tomorrow at this time, you're going to be dead." Come on, saints. And all of the sudden, the scripture says, when he saw that she was serious, he arose and ran for his life to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, O Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my father's." Notice how this man of God, this mighty Old Testament prophet, changed. He, at his word, has seen the heavens closed. He, at his word, has seen the heavens open. He has seen the fire of God fall. He has seen mighty miracles that are indescribable. And yet, he gets a threatening letter from Jezebel and falls apart. Why? Because people change. Come on, saints. We all change. Fickle. People are not constant. Not only do people change from good to bad, but the Bible says that people change from bad to good. The Gospels, Luke chapter 19, beginning with verse 1, says that Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. A man was there named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. This guy worked for the IRS. Come on. He tried to see who Jesus was, but was not able from the crowd, because he was little in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass by. When Jesus came to the vicinity, he looked up and saw him and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must remain at your house." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. When they saw it, they all murmured, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Lord, look, I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I will repay him 4 times as much." How do you know that a person really is saved? When they get ready to give their money. Come on, saints. We laugh, but Jesus said something very similar to that. Jesus said, "It's impossible for you to serve money and me." What the Bible says. You can't serve mammon, money, and me. One will be your master. And now this man who has been less than ethical in his practice of collecting taxes is saying, I am willing to make repayment. I am willing to make restitution. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. On that day, Zacchaeus started out like every other day. He started out, I'm sure, thinking about who he might swindle, how he might make the next dollar, how he might get his next cut out of the taxes collected. But in that day, he encountered Jesus, and everything changed. I said, everything changed. Aren't you so glad to remember the day that you came into contact with Jesus and you were a bad person, but on that day, things changed. How did they change? Old things passed away and all things became new. You were translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Why? Because today, this 24-hour period is the day, the time appointed for the salvation of man. God can change you just like that. People change. So as we see in our scenario, not only did the circumstances change for these disciples, they were setting sail. Everything that day had gone their way. Everything that day had been flowing in the right direction. Now they go headlong into a storm. They are running counter to the wind, and their circumstances have changed. And because the circumstances change, now we see that the people themselves change. How do we know that? We know that because of the words that Jesus says to them at the conclusion of this scenario. Jesus said to them, how is it that you have no faith? They had gone from faith-filled that day to faithless that day. Come on, saints. Have you ever had a day like that? Oh, yeah, I think we've all had days like that. I know I've had a lot of days like that. I've had a lot of days where I started the day as God's man of faith and power, but I ended the day faithless. I ended the day crying and whining and saying something kind of like they said, Lord, don't you care that we're perishing? Don't you care that the boat's about to go under? People change. But it brings us to our third and final point. Although circumstances will change in life, people change in life, Christ never changes. I said, Christ never changes. I said, Christ never changes. He is the constant. Come on, saints. I said, He is the constant. In life that is filled with variables, the variables of circumstances and the variables of peoples and personalities, in all of those variables, Christ is the constant because He never changes. The same God that on that day healed the leper, the same God that on that day caused the sickness to depart from the servant of the centurion, the same God that caused the fever to leave its hold or let go of its hold on Peter's mother-in-law, the same God that cast out demons with His word, the same God that healed all who were sick, was the same God in that boat who had power over the winds and the waves themselves, because Christ never changes. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says, For I am the Lord, and I do not change. Hallelujah. Therefore, you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. Psalms 107, verses 1 and 2, O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 8, Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I just came by to tell you on this Sunday morning that as you go out of this place and live life and are surrounded by culture, that circumstances will change, people will change, but Christ will never change. I just came by to tell you that for every good day, there's a bad day coming. For every bad day, there's a good day coming. For every mountaintop, there will be a valley. And for every valley, there will be a mountaintop. Come on, for every tear, there will be a smile. But for every smile, there will be weeping. Come on, saints. For every open door, there will be a closed. For every closed door, there will be an open. For every high, there will be a low. For every low, there will be a high. I'm telling you, everything in life changes. But no matter all of these variables, there is one constant in life. It is Christ Jesus our Lord. He's the same in the good days and the bad. He's the same on the mountaintop and in the valley. He's the same when you're weeping. He's the same when you're overcome with joy. Christ never changes. He stays or remains the same now and forevermore. Give the Lord a good hand of praise right there. Hallelujah. Christ never changes. Stand with me all across this auditorium. Let's lift our hands and our hearts and our voices to the Lord for the next few moments. Thank you, Lord, that you are the constant in our life. Thank you, Lord, that in the midst of ever-shifting soil, that we can set our feet on that solid rock, on that sure foundation, which is nothing short of Christ and Him crucified. Everything that can be shaken in this life will be shaken. But you, O Lord, are the unshakable one. Hold us in your unchanging hand as we reach out to you by faith today, believing that you are truly the constant in our life. Come on, saints, lift your hands and love the Lord for just a few moments. He is the constant in your life. Even in this room right now, some of you are in struggles. Some of you are in difficulties, problems. I've come to encourage you. It won't always be this way. Better days are coming. For others in this room, you're living in better days right now. You may be living a life that's problem-free. I've come to forewarn you, problems are coming. There'll be challenges just ahead. But no matter where you find yourself in life today, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. I said He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Come on, lift your hands and worship the Lord for just a few moments. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Glory to you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. He never, ever changes. Just praise Him for a moment. We praise you, God. We praise you, we praise you, we praise you. We look to you, Lord God, in good and in bad times. You alone are our foundation, our anchor in the storms of life. We have nothing to fear, for we look to you by faith. Hallelujah. You are a faithful and a good God who never, ever changes. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a good word, amen? Praise God. Glory to God. God that never changes. I mean, we have something that the world cannot understand. They can't comprehend that they have no hope. They have nothing to have security in. And we have absolute security that God is with us, He's in us, and He is going to hold us through the hard times, through the worst of times, He's there. And in the long run, everything is going to turn out all right. Praise God. Well, I'm going to ask you to be seated for just a moment and pull out your phones. We got something that we're going to put on the screen here. It's a QR code. And that QR code, you can shoot with your phones, you know, take a photo of it, and it'll bring you to our website. And there you can download our contact information. And so this is going to become important because it's a way to contact you. Our text messaging system has changed a little bit, so we're going to start texting you through this new number. So just add this to your contacts. You just shoot it, click the button when you get there, import it into your contacts, and it'll add us to your phone as a contact. And then we'll contact you because we got some important updates that we'll be sending you before the end of the year. And so we want you to know that's us contacting you. So if you would do that, that would just be a real blessing to us and ultimately to you as well. Also, we're coming at the time of the year where we give away a lot of food. We have a food pantry ministry, and so we want to make sure we stock up. So maybe next time you go shopping, grab some extra non-perishable foods, bring them to the church. We'll put them in our food pantry. And if you're on the other side of the circumstances, when you're in the valley, when times are bad and you need some food, well, we'll be here for you. And so there's a way you can get food. You can go to our website and fill out an application, and we'll make a big old basket of food for you. So please help us out with that. We appreciate it. Praise God. If you want to stick around, I suggest doing so because he'll be back for the 11 o'clock service. And so we look forward to hearing from him again. And let's just close in prayer. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the same. He is our firm foundation. Circumstances will change. People will change. Everything can change in just a moment, in just a day, in just an hour. But we look to you. You are our salvation. You are our hope. And we thank you that we are secure and safe in Christ. We give you the praise and glory for all you're doing in us. We thank you for the word this morning. We bless you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You are dismissed. God bless you. And also, we want to welcome our visitors. Make sure if there's someone here you don't know, just let them feel welcome, okay?